Aldi and wish you the best. Children's music throughout the ages has always been a major source of income for record labels and production companies. Imagine, you know, studios like Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar. They've produced some of the biggest children's films and some of the most recognisable songs. And I bet you can still sing some of those songs that they've created now. They stick in your mind and they just stay there. They're great childhood memories. But the landscape has changed. Streaming has taken over the market with kids' songs like Baby Shark amassing over 14 billion views. Just say that again. 14 billion views. Loads, eh? Paul Alaban spoke to the CEO and the founder of One Media Group, Michael Infante, about how he's seen the industry change.
I think the appetite for increased copyright, music copyright, should I say, music rights, has increased and come to the forefront over the last 5 years generally. Since the early days, when I was first involved, say, in children's products, you were reliant on small linear footage in supermarkets or stores or toy shops where a small selection of, you know, children's product, either in books or books on tape or on CD, were offered for sale. And it was a limited, you know, it was only obviously down to shelf space. As the world went digital and you were paying a set price of 79p, 99 cents US for a download, the walls, if you like, expanded digitally and there were no constraints as such. But still, you were reliant on a pay-to-listen basis so that parents would download and play music. As the world went streaming from around about 2010, 12 onwards, suddenly you were paying a subscription and the sky was the limit. The quantity of children's product that was available, which gave companies such as us and others within the industry the opportunity to really push the walls out and fill certain spaces, which was very exciting, and create a lot of new product that would be streamed. So it gave birth, if you like, to reimagining nursery rhymes, having celebrities read them. There was no limit to the amount that we could offer. We could make up playlists on Spotify, Apple, and other digital stores, which, of course, in-car entertainment, at-home entertainment via your smart speakers or in the car or otherwise, meant the parents had on tap bountiful of product and content they could listen to.
Yeah, and you sort of think of streaming and the accessibility of it as, yeah, like you say, it's so broad and so massive. And also, you know, you sort of think of rights for music. I mean, like, you know, nursery rhymes and like traditional songs and stuff, they sort of fall into the public domain anyway. So you can sort of create your own versions of these songs, can't you, and put them on streaming, and they're just open to a much wider audience.
Well, that's right. I mean, if we consider that nursery rhymes particularly was a way of communicating stories with sort of moral endings to them, effectively, sometimes horrific, sometimes warning, sometimes pleasant. But, you know, if we go back to the Middle Ages, people didn't have books. They relied on word of mouth to communicate stories. So fables, which is the word which you refer to, you know, round and round the mulberry bush, and little Tommy Tucker and Ring a Ring of Roses, you name it. These were stories with rhyme that were passed on as time went on. And the very first people to really start reimagining and extending visually was people like Disney, when they started doing animation and taking effectively Cinderella, you name it, Wizard of Oz type stories, effectively, that were old stories that they reimagined. So what's now happened is for the consumption for you know, the new generation of kids now that will not be aware of what a CD is, what a product is like that, is they just want to tune in. Our job is to make them as interesting, digestible, and as exciting as we possibly can. And sometimes changing the stories. There's nothing wrong in that. It's not a Shakespearean work at this stage. It becomes fun.
Yeah. So how do you do it then? Like, if you sort of think, like you say, back to Disney. When I was younger, Disney they had their sort of renaissance in the sort of early 90s. All of a sudden, all these sort of new Disney tracks were coming out that were new to me when I was a little kid. How do you make stuff that's new, not just using sort of older nursery rhymes and stuff? Like, what's your sort of method?
Well, we have a bit of a brainstorming session here, and we use a wealth of artists and people that we work with. The producer of a lot of our children's product is Mike Bennett, who currently is the front man for the Blockheads, having replaced Ian Dury. You would never think that an infant terrible, a punk from the punk era, having him produce people like The Fool and Toya and people like that, would actually now be doing a lot of children's products. So, you know, we come down, we sit down and we say, all right, Oliver Twist, let's take some of that. Let's make it Oliver's Twists or something like that. You start playing on the name Cutie and the Beast, you know, things like this is when we start reimagining. And then Mike will go away, come back with a brief of saying, well, this will be 7 minutes, this will be 11 minutes. We then engage with artists that are going to rate them. I mean, the late, great Rick Mayall read 5 or 6 stories for us in the past, but we've worked with, you know, everybody from David Van Day to Judy Dench to Nita Harris. We've got a host of artists that have come in and, you know, spent their time in the studio reading. I mean, these are very talented readers. They can read a book and they can lay down these words very quickly. So and delivered in a childlike manner, but with voices that don't drive parents mad. Because take Rick Mayall, I mean, you know, big fan myself from The Young Ones and Bottom and things like that. You know, his voice just makes you smile and laugh anyway. So when he's reading Aladdin or The Three Little Pigs or something, you can almost detect the intonation that's in there. So that makes it entertaining for both adults and for the kids.
I sort of think, when I think of children's songs and children's sort of media, the first thing that comes into my head, obviously, is Baby Shark. Absolutely massive, billions of views on YouTube. Do you think that we'll ever see something of that sort of magnitude again?
I think it's only just beginning, to be honest. I think, you know, creating something that goes viral is very, very difficult. The major record labels, you know, we'd all love to think we're going to have something that's going to go viral, but it's something that, you know, just happens, and there's no real formula for it to take off. So I think, you know, in the same way as there's a lottery winner every month or whatever, you will have a piece of product or content that will just get picked up and go viral. Yes, so we haven't seen the last of that for sure.
Very interesting. That was the CEO and founder of One Media Group, Michael Infante, speaking to Paul Alaban about the changes he's seen in the music industry in relation to streaming and children's music. I'm sorry that Paul did mention Baby Shark. He did mention it, and it may have started that earworm off. It may start you singing it, and I'm sorry if it has. Now I